Chronicles this morning. 2 Chronicles. We'll begin reading in verse number 20. Chapter number 20, I'm sorry. Verse number 1. And I want to share something with you. In my own private Bible study, just as I do on my own, I came across this and I want to share it with you this morning. Probably be brief. And ease on out of here in a little bit after prayer, preaching. Altar call, a lot of people grinning. I told him the other day, I give y'all this, I told him the other day, I said, hey, you leave church on Sunday, you run up to Arby's, get you something to eat, you can be eating fed by 12:30. And they said, what church you been going to? Oh, thank God for a good loving wife, amen. I said, what church you been going to? I hope you didn't come to get out, but you come to get in, amen. Hey, we don't want to start at 11 o'clock sharp and leave at 12 o'clock dull. We've come to get in on what God would have us to have this morning. I want to preach a title that God's laid on my heart, When You Don't Know What to Do. Have you just ever been at a place you did not know what to do? You got older in life and maybe it's time to make retirement. Maybe it's you're younger in life and you got kids and you don't know where to send them to school. Or maybe you've had them late in life and you just really don't know what to do. And you just don't know what to do. Has anybody ever been there? We've got a few honest folks, amen? And the rest of you, you're going to get to the place where you just don't know what to do. You ever just had your hands tied? Well, here as we come, Judah had their hands tied. And I want to read with you 2 Chronicles chapter number 20 and verse number 1. I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word. When you don't know what to do. And it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and with the other beside the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that chose Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea of this side Syria, and behold, they be in Hazatamar, which is in Judea. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all Judea. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God our Father, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gave it to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary there for thy name, saying, if when evil come upon us as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, and then thou wilt hear and help. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, when thou wouldst not let Israel invade, when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given to us in inheritance. Our God, will thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. And here's the text. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Our Father and our God, as we bow in your presence this morning, it's so wonderful to be in your house with this group of believers this morning. Father, I'd pray for the next few moments, whoever I may be talking to has walked in this morning, they don't know what to do. Father, they're at their wits' end. They don't know which way to go. All they can see is a battle out before them. They can't see nothing but a great battle or a great storm or something. Father, this morning I pray that they find refuge in you this morning. I find they find that peace in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray this morning that you hide me behind the cross. I pray you guard my throat and guard my thoughts. I pray that everything that I say would be honor and pleasing and glorifying to your most holy, precious name. Lord, I pray when we walk out of this place Father, we walk out different than we did when we walked in. Lord, if they be one lost, save them. If they be one backslidden, bring them back. If they be one, Father, that just don't know what to do, I pray you open the windows of heaven and you show them exactly what to do this morning. Father, I love you and I thank you. I ask it all in Jesus' most holy, precious name, and all of God's people said, amen. You may be seated this morning. When you just don't know what to do, as we come this morning in the first 12 verses here, we see that all Judah and King Jehoshaphat stood before the Lord as honest and as humble and as helpless as they could stand. Here they came and they seen a battle. They seen a battle out before them, and all they knew is that the battle would overtake them, at the storms of this life and the battle that was coming their way, it would destroy them if God did not step in. Hey, ask him, said, God, are you not the God of the heathen? Are you not our God? Can you not step in and make all things right? And friends, this morning I want you to know, as they got as honest as they could get, they had no clue what to do. They had no clue on whatsoever to do in their life. And all they could do is call out to God. I thank God this morning when I don't know what to do, I can call out to a God that knows what to do. Can I get an amen? He says this morning they didn't have no clue. All they knew was there was a battle to so great, and they would be overtaken. If we all be honest this morning, there's times in our life when we don't know what to do. So what do you do when you don't know what to do? I want to give you four things that they did in this scripture when they didn't know what to do. Number one this morning, look with me in verse number 12. Hey, when you don't know what to do, what do? I say to you this morning, number one, hey, look to God. Amen. It says, our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company. They knew that what was coming against them was bigger than they was. They knew what was coming against them was greater than who they was. And he said, it's greater than that against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon you. You say, preacher, what does that mean when you look to God? Hey, that's when you get focused on God. You don't get focused on the world and what's going on around you. Hey, you don't bent horizontally, but you bent vertically. Hey, you get on your knees, hey, before an almighty God, and you quit complaining and griping and doing all them things. And you get on your knees before an almighty God and you look up vertically and you say, God, I don't know how it's going to work. I don't know when it's going to work. I don't know how it's going to come to pass, but I'm going to look to you for everything that is in my life. I want you to know they focused on God. They fixed their eyes on God. They said, we don't know what's going to happen. Hey, but we're going to look to God. They looked up instead of looking around. Hey, this morning, can I say to you in Isaiah 45, 22, if you'll turn with me there, Isaiah chapter number 45 and verse number 22. Here's what the Bible says this morning. When you look to God, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter number 45 and verse number 22, look unto me. That's what God said. He said, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Hey, you know Charles Spurgeon, the great Charles Spurgeon. He was about 15 or 16 year old and he got looking to find God. He'd been in church all his life. He had been Christian as he was a baby in the Catholic Church. And as he came up, he knew that he did not know God. And he didn't have the presence of God on his life. And it said one early one morning, it got snowing real bad in the town that he lived in. And he stumbled into an old Methodist church. And when he went in, they wasn't very many there. It said one elder got up and he read a scripture. And said only thing he knew that he read was Isaiah 45 and verse number 22. Look unto me and be ye saved. He said the man, you could tell, hadn't studied that much, but he was in the power of God and he was in the presence of God. And only thing that old man kept saying is, look to God. If you're lost, look to God. If you're helpless, look to God. If you're in need, look to God. No matter what's going on in your life, keep looking to God. Hey, this morning, can I say to you, had they told him here, said, I don't know what to do, but I'm going to keep looking at God. I want you to know this morning, it's very important for this church and me being the pastor that I don't get my eyes on the community and I don't get my eyes on the crowd and I don't get my eyes on the consequences of things that are going on, but I keep my eyes on the cross of Calvary and I keep my eyes on God and I keep looking to God in every situation. Hey, this morning, can I say to you in verse number 12, he said, look to God. Amen. Look to God. Hey, this week we got to go to the water park. Thank you, Brother JD and Sister Holly. That was a great time. we loved it, and all the kids got going down the slide. And as I sat up there, I said, God, there's got to be something in this slide. There's got to be a message in this slide. And as I got watching them kids go down that slide, and they get going faster and faster and faster. They wanted to race somebody. They wanted to beat somebody. Hey, but I've learned something. Hey, when they got in a race and they wanted to win, they'd keep their nose down. They wouldn't look up, and they'd go straight to the finish line. But every once in a while, there'd be one. And he'd get on his little mat, and he'd get going down that water slide, and he wanted to know where his competition was. He wanted to know who he racing. He wanted to know how close he was. You know what he'd do? He'd look up, and he'd look around. And when he'd look up and he'd look around and he'd get his eyes off the prize, you know what he'd do? He'd start slowing down. In them curves, he'd start sticking. He wasn't running as fast as he was. Why? Because he was worried about who he was racing against. I got good news this morning. I'm not racing against nobody. Can I get an amen? Hey, I'm been going to the finish line. Hey, I've been sealed up in heaven by the blood of Jesus Christ. And all I'm going to do is keep looking up. Amen. Whoa, glory to God. He said, look up to God. But look in verse number 15. He said, when you don't know what to do, you've got to look up. You're going to have to look up. A lot of people get put flat on their back because they have to look up. They get flat on their back. God's wanting them to look up. He's wanting them to look up. Get up, look up. But he said, you don't need to look up, but you're going to have to listen to God. You're going to have to look up, and you're going to have to listen. Look here in verse number 15, if you would. Here's what he said. And he said, hearken, ye all Judea and you inhabitants. There's the word, hearken. Listen. You say, what does that mean, preacher? That word hearken there would mean to tune in. That means get your radio on the right dial. Get yourself tuned in to what God's trying to tell you. When you don't know what to do, that just shows us how big God is. If you know how to fix everything, you're trying to play God. But when you get to that place and you don't know what to do, look up and listen to God. He said, hearken, tune in, listen, pay attention. The battle is not yours, but God's. Look here, they was ready to fight a battle that wasn't theirs. This morning, you may not know what to do because you're trying to fight a battle that's not yours. You ever found yourself fighting somebody else's battle and you ain't got nothing in it, but you fighting it anyway? And you ought to have stayed out of it, but you opened your mouth and you got in it. I don't know who I'm preaching to this morning. But let's listen here. And he said, hearken. He said, I want you to listen. I want you to dial in here. I want you to get in on this. Folks, this morning as Christians, I want you to dial in on this. There's some battles that you don't have to fight that you're fighting that you ought to let go of. You ought to let go of. Look here, he says. And he said, hearken, you all, Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou king Jehoshaphat. He said, I don't only want you, but I want your king to listen. I want everybody to pay attention right here. Look what he said. Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours. The battle is not yours. He said, I want you to look to God, but I want you to listen. I want you to pay attention. I want you to tune in. There's some battles you fight that is not yours, but they're God's. Do you remember in the book of Job? Job went through all them battles. It had nothing to do with Job. You know what that all was between? It was between God and it was between Satan. And he said, what about your servant Job? What about your servant Job here? He said, if you take everything he got, he'll curse you and he'll die. If you take everything he got, he said, you can have your hand, you can do what you want to Job, but you can't take his life. Friends, I want you to know, I thank God that he's given us life and he's given it to us more abundantly, don't you? There's things that come our way when we don't know what to do. And all I know is that God must be trusting me to go through that battle because I can't fight it, I can't win it, I can't defeat it. Only thing I can do is hold on to that unchanging hand and grip a hold of it and ride the ride, because if God don't deliver me through it, I'm going to be overwhelmed by it. Amen. He said, number one, you need to look to God. You need to look to God. You need to listen to God. When you get to that place, you look to God. Jehoshaphat, he came here. He didn't know what to do, but he said, hey, we're going to look to you. We have called a fast and we're going to look to you and we're going to listen to you. Folks, this morning, I want you to get this. If you're going to look to God and you're going to listen to God, you must learn from God. If you're going to take the time to look and listen, learn something from Him. I've learned so much in my life from how God has taught me things. There's been times in my life, I want you to know, I felt like I was on a mountaintop, man, in the spirit world, and was doing great. And the next morning, I'm not talking about weeks, I'm talking about the next morning, I was on the valley at the very bottom, at the bottom, at the bottom. I said, how can I be here? Because he's showing me how great he is and how little I am and how he wants to work through my life. But I don't know what to do. Number one, I need to just look to God. I need to listen to God. Open my ears and listen to Him. And I need to learn from Him. Let me show you what they learned here. They learned, number one, the battle's not theirs, but it's God's. The battle's not theirs, but it's God. Look in verse 17. Boy, don't you love this. Who in here is tired of fighting old Satan? Boy, I'm tired of fighting Satan. Who's in here tired of fighting family? For no reason. Look what he says. I love this. Verse 17. He says, "Ye shall no need to fight." You ain't got to fight. You got somebody on your side. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Now let me stop right there and say this. There's some battles you're going to have to fight. There's some battles you're going to have to fight, and there's some battles worth fighting, and there's some battles not worth fighting. Have you ever been in the middle of a battle, you was battling something, and you said, "I ain't fooling with it. I can't handle it no more. I'm through with it. I'm turning you over to the Lord. I'm through with it." You just throw your hands down, then it gets better. But as long as you was fighting, had your hands all in it, it just kept getting worse and worse and worse and worse. But when you just said, "Lord," you turned it over, you realized it wasn't your battle, God started making it better and better and better. And better. Look what he says. "You shall not need fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand you still, and see the salvation of the Lord." You say, what do we learn from him? Some battles ain't worth the fight, but some are. And the word he uses here that I want you to really look at is the word "set yourselves." That means you must be determined not to fight in this battle. There's some things come your ways as daddies you want to fight just because you're a daddy. Amen. Mamas, there's some things come your way, you just want to fight it because you're a mama. You want to fix it. You want to be the fixer-upper. You want to fix it. Your child ain't doing good. You want to fix it. You want to make everything right. And God may be sending them through that valley to teach them something, and I'm standing in their way when God's trying to make a way. And he don't want it to just be handed to him. He wants me to get out of the way and let him work it. Boy, I've got to get a hold of this. He said, you got to determine not to get in God's way, and you got to stand back. You got to set yourself, stand ye still. That means just to be still as you can be. Determined, I'm not going to do nothing, but I'm going to let God do it right now. And I'm going to stand still, and I'm going to see the salvation of the Lord. Let me give you this, the fourth thing. Not only do we look to God, not only do we listen to God, not only do we learn from God, but we must lean on God. You've got to get to a place in your life, if you're going to determine not to follow the things of this world, that I'm just going to lean on God. That I'm just going to lean on God. I can't make it work. I don't know how. I just don't know what to do. Lean on God. Look what they did here, if you will, with me in verse number 18. "And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground." What'd he do, preacher? He got on his knees before Almighty God. When he got to the place, he didn't look to God. He listened to what was going on. He learned. He said, "You're going to fight this battle. I'm going to get on my face and I'm going to worship you and praise you because I'm coming through on the other side." You ever thought of something, man, if this comes against me, it's going to destroy me? If I got to fight that and you put all your time, all your effort, all your energy into it, and then it don't never come. You have worried about it, set up sleepless nights, and you was ready to battle that fight. And when it got time to battle it, the battle wasn't even there. God done took care of it. Look what he said here. He said he's going to lean on God. He fell down before God in verse 18, face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. Not only did he kneel down, but he worshiped God. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God." If you're going to lean on him, you're going to have to believe in him. If you're going to, and you're going to have to believe. And there's three things I want you to know that you can believe God for. This morning, I want to give you three things that you can believe God for. And it's found in this text, but you can believe God for this. Number one, God will not lie. He will not lie to you. Your spouse might lie to you. Your co-workers might lie to you. But God will not lie. Can I say to you, God will not lose. He won't lie to you and he won't lose. When he says the battle's his, he ain't going to lose it. Amen? Whoa! We was going down that slide at that camp and them kids, they was flying faster than we was. And there's one little girl, Sister Donna and Brother Teddy's granddaughter, she kept wanting to race me. And I'd beat her every time. She said, "I don't know how you win." I said, "Baby, you just don't weigh enough." You ain't got enough weight to hold your mat down. You just don't weigh enough. But you know, I realize that didn't have nothing to do with how much you weighed. It's how you run your race. Amazing, it's how you run your race. It's how you get wrapped up in that mat. Man, when you was telling me that, I was thinking about Jesus. You said, all you got to do, Brother BJ, is not touch the slide at all. Get wrapped up in that mat. Wrap that thing around you. Hey, listen to me this morning. When you don't know what to do, wrap yourself up in Jesus. Let Him wrap you up. You look to Him. Listen to Him. Learn from Him and lean on Him. Man, as I wrapped myself up in that, I thought I was going to come out of that slide. This morning you say, I'm not big enough, but God is. I'm not strong enough, but God is. I'm not tough enough, but God is. There's three things God can't do. Number one, He will not lie to you. Number two, He will not lose. He'll never be a loser. He's always a winner. You say, well, He lost on the cross. Oh, no, He didn't. He conquered death, hell, and the grave on the cross. His name's Jesus. He will not lie. He will not lose. And let me give you this. This will help you. He will not leave you. He won't leave you. He can't leave you. He can't get away from you. He's all over you. If you're a child of God, He's all over you. He's all in you. He said, lean on me. Lean in on me. Lean, lean, lean. Let me show you this. Just lean on Him this morning when you don't know what to do. Let me give you this in closing. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood in verse 20 and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God. You're going to have to believe it. So shall you be established, believe His prophets, so shall you prosper. And when they had consorted with the people, He appointed singers unto the Lord, and that thou shalt praise the beauty of holiness. And they went out before the army and to say, praise the Lord, for His mercy endureth forever. And as you read on in this text, you get over to verse 25. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them abundance. Abundance. Why? Because they quit fighting in their own strength and they let God fight the fight. They found it in abundance, both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off of themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering spoil and so much. Took them 3 days to gather everything that God had for them. It took them 3 days. They didn't know what to do. They was at their wits' end. And when they listened to God, it took them 3 days to gather the abundance that God had for them. You see what they do, preacher? They just look to God. That's easy. Is it? Is it? All they done was look to God. Is it easy? Well, I ask you this morning, is it easy? When the doctor report comes and you got cancer and you eat slap up, is it easy to look to God? When your spouse comes in and said, this marriage is over, I don't want it. Is it easy to look to God? When the battle's brewing, is it easy? When your knee ain't doing the way it should, is it easy to look to God? Is it easy to look when your spouse has died with COVID? Is it easy to look to God? No, it ain't easy. But it's worth it. Is it easy to listen to God? Oh, everybody can listen. He hath had an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of God says. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's easy to listen, but it's hard to put it to practice. You said, preacher, I don't know what to do. Listen to God. It ain't easy, but listen to Him. Is it easy to learn from God? Oh, no, we don't want it hard. We want it easy. If you don't believe me, McDonald's are everywhere. I walked into Sam's yesterday. You know what it said? If you don't got 15 minutes wait, go to McDonald's. This ain't fast food. My wife said, they're blunt about that, ain't they? I said, that's how we ought to be, blunt about it. It's easy to look. It's easy to listen, but it sure is hard. It's easy to learn from God, but it sure is hard when He starts mashing on you. Oh, He's grace, preacher. He's grace. Let me tell you something. The other day I misspoke in this pulpit on Wednesday. Before I got back on Sunday, He whooped me every day that I got back here and made it right. I got a Father in heaven. You hear me? He wants things done the right way. He don't let me just get by doing what I want to do, how I want to do it, when I want to do it, where I want to do it. He puts that rod on me. It's easy to lean on Him. Or is it? When all the bills are coming due, everything's hounding down your neck, and all you've got to do is lean on God, but you're going to work one more hour. You're going to go one more mile. You're going to do one more on your own power, your own strength. Work yourself to death instead of leaning on a God that says the battle's mine already. I believe I'm talking to somebody. I knew he talked to me when he spoke to me this week. There's been battles I fought that was not mine to be fighting. And I fought them for years, Sister Tracy. I mean years. 2 or 3 years, certain battles. And finally I got to the place I just said, I ain't fighting them no more. And when I backed off, that battle ceased. There was no more battle. There was no more. He took care of it. This morning, I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but maybe you're at the place you don't know what to do. Have you ever got to the place where you just didn't feel God? You just didn't feel God? It may be because you ain't looking. Maybe because you ain't listening. Maybe because you ain't learning what he's trying to teach you. He who does not pass history must repeat history. They told us that in school all the time. Trust me, if you don't pass it, you will repeat it. No matter if you're 10th, 11th, 12th grade, they're going to put you back through it again. But this morning, I want to ask you this. When's the last time you just leaned on God? Not on what you've got in your bank, not what you've got at your home, not what you've got, not nothing you've got, but you just finally leaned on God. You know what it is to lean on God? Come here, Brother Garrett. You just get up and leave music anyway. You know what it is to lean on God? Stand right here. I'm going to get up here, okay, so we're on the same height. This is not leaning on God. This ain't leaning on God. This ain't leaning on God. That's leaning on God. You take all the burden, all the pain, and you put it on God. And you say, God, I don't know what to do, but you do. And I'm leaning into you, and I'm looking to you, and I'm listening for everything that you got this morning. And when I don't know what to do, I'm going to look to you. And when I do know what to do, I'm going to look to you. And I want you to know this morning, we got a God that never will lie to you. He never will lose, and he'll never leave you. This morning, he's calling somebody saying, come unto me, all you that are weak and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. This morning, if you need rest, remember the battle's not yours, but it's the Lord's. Father, I love you, and I thank you for this day. I thank you for the very many blessings of life. Lord, I thank you for the word that you gave me to spoke this morning, Father. Whoever that may be in this place and they just don't know what to do, Lord, I pray you'd reach down from heaven and give them a clear word this morning, Father. Now, whatever they're not doing, they're not looking, listening. Father, just as I was looking at everything around me instead of looking up to the one that could help me. And Lord, this morning, I just want to lean on you. I want this church to lean on you. And Lord, you have your will and way in the next few moments. Lord God, save who needs to be saved. Lord God, bring back who needs to be brought back. Touch who needs to be touched. The one that's carrying a burden that's too heavy. Pray this morning, Father, they put it on you. When I don't know what to do, what do I do? This morning, Father, I pray they ask themselves that question. When they don't know what to do, what do they do? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.